Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How's everybody doing today? We thank God for another day to share his word with you. And today's topic is, what do you do in tough times? And a lot of people said, well, I'm a believer. They're, tough times don't happen to me. Well, they happen to Jesus. You walking on this planet, you're going to have a physical body, you're going to deal with challenges. And you may not succeed in your life, but they're going to come. Amen? One thing we have been getting a lot of details in and people telling us is the finances. Finance. What is your financial picture? People have been talking about the American dream. And for a lot of people, they've been saying it has turned, the dream has turned into a nightmare. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So which vision do you have operating in your life? Now, I'm going to read the book of Psalms. I'm going to read two scriptures. Psalms 82, verse 3 and 4. To defend the poor, the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hands of the wicked. And who do you think Jesus is talking to? For a lot of people in the body of Christ, you or in a ministry, or you go to a church, that the poor are not thought about. And when I say that, we get too many email letters in from people and talk to people who've gone to churches for years. And when a problem arises, church, we don't do that. We can't help you. Where if you may need some medicine from a doctor, and so we can't help you. And if you have a church, a ministry that does that, praise God for you. Praise God. But far too many people in the body of Christ, we're not talking about outside of the body. Jesus said the kids of the world are wiser than the kids of the kingdom. And for people falling through the safety net of church life is far bigger than people falling to the cracks in the world. A lot of times, believers will get more help from unbelievers than they get from believers. And why is that? Jesus said, you know, we are supposed to be conforming to the image of Jesus, not conforming to the world. And yet, a lot of times, believers can get more help from the world than they can from the church. Something's wrong with that picture. You hear about people talking about, well, you don't have enough faith. Well, you think about something, folks. Whose faith do you have? Go over here to the book of Romans. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man the measure of faith. And you have the faith of God living on the inside of you. I have the faith of God living on this earth. Yes, you have to have the faith of God to be able to believe God's word. Just like when you have a car, you've got to put gasoline. If it runs by gasoline, you can't put diesel in it. You can't put baby oil in it. It has to be gasoline. It has to be refined. It has to be a match. So your faith has to match your God. Now we're talking about the God about, we're talking the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, if you're talking about some other God, this program is not for you. If you're searching and want to know, well, this program is for you. Now, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So why is it that believers run into hard times? Somebody mentioned to me the other week, and they were studying in the Bible, and they were studying about Passover. And, you know, if the angel came through, if you wasn't in the house, you was firstborn, you was gone. You know? And do you know a lot of sinners were in that house? Anybody believed? It was counted to them as righteousness. They did the right thing. They believed God's word. So they escaped. Just like if you was in Sodom and Gomorrah, you see Lot hidden out, you could escape. But most of them, you know, we don't believe that. Do you believe God's word? And this is the dialogue that we're running through about that. Said, you know, well, nobody left there empty-handed. There were no feeble among them. All of them were healed. All of them, they had stuff. And he said, well, how come we get saved, we don't have stuff? And I said, that's a good question. I don't know, because I didn't get any stuff. Literally in my hand when I got saved. But I got stuff. And I tell him, you got stuff when you got saved. And he said, you sure? I said, yeah, let's look. We went to the Bible, we'll see. And I took him over here to the book of Ephesians. In chapter 1, Paul says, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. According to him, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure of his will. I went over to the book of Corinthians, where Jesus was made poor that we might be rich. I said, the thing about believers today, they got everything God said they supposed to have, but they don't know it. I don't know that. I didn't know that. No one has ever told me that. And I said, you know, a reason for that is, you see, so for a lot of people, you should thank God for hard times when they show up. When I talk about hard times financially, you have a bill that you can't pay. Or you've just been laid off of your job. You may have worked there 20 years, and they give you a pink slip. We don't need you no more. That is not the time to start crying and fall on your God, why you let this happen to me? Don't do that. See, and I tell people so many times, things may catch you unaware, but they don't catch God unaware. Like Jesus was slain before the foundation of the earth. Before this earth was here, he was already slain. See, nothing catches God up. He has prepared before we got here. Just think about it, folks. The garden was prepared before Adam got there. The animals were there before Adam got to name them. So God is no respecter of persons. So God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. So that means you're sitting there. Do you believe it? And see, this is the thing about hard times. What makes one believer successful, another believer fail. God loves them both. God is not a respecter of persons. And so many people give up. And I thank God for people that give up because they usually come across my path. Because most churches and most Christians, they don't want to deal with you. Or you ain't got enough faith. Or you ain't got enough. You ain't did enough. You ain't suffered enough. All these, you ain't did enough. You know, that's the general. Just, and for a lot of people say, that ain't it. There's something that's wrong in this scenario. You know, a story on the book of Luke, two stories in the book of Luke. I'm going to talk about both of them. One is a man named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, very rich. Then there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus, right? There's two reactions in a dialogue dealing with Jesus from people that surround him. One with Zacchaeus, you know, Jesus coming through Jericho, and he sees Zacchaeus, and, you know, I got to come to your house today. And Zacchaeus ran down and received him gladly. And he starts talking about money. Come if I defrauded anybody, you know what I'm going to do and all this thing. And the people on the outside, man, what's he going to Zacchaeus' house? Man, he ain't one of us no more. He's sold out. He's working with the Romans. He a tax collector. Some days, you know, it's like, you know, if you owe 10, he would say, give me 15. The government would get their 10, he put 5 in his pocket. And it was worse than dirt in those Jewish people's eyes. Now, that rich young ruler comes to him, so when they seen him, they probably bowed and said, how you doing, good sir? Good to see you today. You looking good? And he said, why you call me good? There's nothing good but God. And see, this is where you know he playing. He playing the game. He fronting. He said, he didn't say, you're him. You're God manifested. He didn't say that. And Jesus told him, he said, you know the commandments. He said, all these I've kept from my youth up. What thing do I lack? You know, he bragging on himself. The Bible said if you fail one, you're guilty of all. Because it's designed, the law is designed for you not to be justified by the law. And yet, this day and time, people want to be justified by the law. And you can't. As much as people try to con you. And see, that's where, if you're a religious thinking person, you'll try to make a deal with God. Well, God, you know, I go to church. I give money. I pray. I'm an usher. I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor of the church. If there's anybody that should be blessed, it should be me. So you're going to be the last person to be blessed. What? Oh, yeah, you're going to be the last person to be blessed. Just like in this story with Zacchaeus. See, you would side with the rich young ruler. If anybody going to heaven, it's him. And Jesus told him something. He said, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Do you know anybody that he gave that command to, they was in his inner circle? That's what he told Peter, James, John, and them. Come follow me. And they did. And said, the man, he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. And Jesus said something. He said, how hard is those that are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples were astonished. The disciples were astonished out of measure. And they said, you know, how they trust in riches they enter in. And he said, Lord, we've left all to follow you. What, you know, what's up? Because just like it is back then, it is now. A person that's got money, very few things can touch him, really, compared to a poor person. You think about if you're rich, you have a job that you like to do. You may own a company. You may, you know, you have some power in a company or business. Poor person, he doesn't have that. He may be working part-time. See, I'm telling you some things that people have told me. You may be working part-time. You may have four jobs that you're working part-time. You may work two here, three here, and you may get 30 hours for the week. You're not going to get 40 because you get some benefits then. You don't get no benefits. But see, the rich guy, he got deep pockets. He don't have to worry about paying for his insurance. You know, his car breaks down, get me a new one. Poor guy, he may not even have a car. I remember years ago, was going to this church and young in the Lord. And a friend of mine, we helped a guy. He was just got out of the army. He lived from hand to mouth. He needed a job. We got him a job, you know, and whatnot. And his wife was pregnant. She had another. And people in the church, they were like frowning upon him. How dare you be thinking about having a child? You know, you don't even have a steady job. And even in the church world, if you don't renew your mind to the Word of God, you will think like the world concerning the poor. So, when you had your son or daughter or kids or whatever, did you have all the money in the bank to take them all the way through college degree? You may be a little bit better than that man, but did you have all the money to take them through college? And we're not talking about insurance, because even for a lot of people, they can't even pay insurance for their families. The way I've heard men say, yeah, I'm worth more to my wife and kids dead than alive, because the insurance would take care of them. Like in old days, he bought the farm. It was an old insurance thing. You know, man got killed in the war, you know, they would have enough money to buy a farm. He bought the farm. Jesus, he takes all this into consideration. You see, that's why you have to have your mind renewed by the Word of God. Because if you don't, you'll get caught up in the day-to-day things. How am I going to make it? Man, what am I going to do? I lost my job. I'm too old to start over. Well, don't you think Jesus knows how old you are? And Jesus, back to the story, Jesus said, see, he trusts in riches. See, because virtually, if he said he knew the word as much as he did, he that has pity on the poor gives to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. He really had some. No, he would have had enough, just like Peter did with the fish. You know, and James and John in the fishing business, and they caught more fish than they had caught in their whole lifetime. They caught enough fish that he could go with Jesus wherever Jesus went. Why? Because he was taking care of his family, taking care. Because Jesus said, when he's getting ready to go to the cross, when I sent you guys out, did you lack anything? No, we didn't lack anything. See, that is how Jesus set the kingdom up to work. But if you get a bunch of people involved, see, that's why you got to know the word, that's going to control the situation. Jesus is the freest person to be in ministry with, because he's always looking to bless you, always trying to open your eyes to an opportunity that's around you. And for a lot of people we deal with, and so, man, well, God, he let me down. You know, I lost my job. And say, think about something. Pray about, you know, we're going to pray for you. But go back, pray, spend some time with the Lord and see where you missed it. And people, they had opportunity to have another job. Oh, I like it here, where the well had dried up. The well had dried up, and God was moving, and they didn't take it. And they looked back and said, oh, Lord, forgive me. See, a lot of people I've dealt with, the ministry has dealt with, they go to a church, and Lord tell them, being here, it's come to an end. You know, the well has dried up here. Well, I'm going to stay here for the rest of my life. You have just cut God's word off from you, because you won't hear anything else. I've heard women say, you know, the man I marry, he'll be in this church. Don't say nothing to him. See, they're already in the ground. Have you ever done that? You ever put your stakes in the ground? I'm going to stay here. And God said, I want you to move. I remember a young man told me, years ago, he's flying on the plane. And so the Lord told him, you don't have to get married in that church that you're going to. He said, because everybody, it was such a celebration every time they had an announcement somebody was getting married in the church. And that's what he was looking at. He didn't get married in that church. He said, what do you do when tough times come? They're going to come. Everybody has that opportunity. But what you do with it is depend where your faith is. Is it in Jesus or is it in the system? Peter and them in the boat, and Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. Jesus back in the ship asleep on a pillow. A storm comes up. He go back and read, Jesus, cares not if we perish? Hey, what are you doing back here asleep? Jesus said, we've got to rebuke the storm. He says, what's wrong with you guys? Where's your faith? What? Where's our faith? He's expecting them to do something about that storm. He's expecting them to speak to the storm. So where's it? They did not use what Jesus gave them. And it was a tough time. They were in fear of they going to lose their life. And Jesus said, you know, where's your faith? They did not use what Jesus gave them. Are you using what Jesus has already given you? Not what he's going, what he's already given you. You have the faith of God on the inside of you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Same one, not a different one. I've heard people talking about, God, send me the power. I need more power. Where's he going to get any more power? The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Saying it, you don't know it. And 9 out of 10 times, no one has taught you that it's in you. They taught you, well, you haven't learned enough. You had to come back here next week. Why? Because they're going to keep you under their thumb. They're going to keep you in a position that you'll always be dependent on them. Not that you can be dependent on Jesus. See, Jesus is going to let you down. That's what they're telling you. You don't have enough. Well, see, if he had enough to get you saved, how come he don't have enough to get you to the end? Far too many believers, they want to fit in. They want to fit in that little group, you know, like back in high school, you know, all the groups people fit into, and people didn't fit in it. They were outcasts. You don't be outcast in church. world. You don't be outcast. So you do anything they want you to do. I've heard people say, you know, Lord's got them to do something, I can't do that. People in this church ain't going to like that. I made a lot of friends in this church. I got a position in this church. I'm recognized in this church. What's that do with Jesus? See, that was Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, you guys ain't listening to this man. No man can do it. I'm going to see who he is. And see, them all the scribes and Pharisees, if anybody should have known who Jesus was, it should have been them. They would not accept what they read and what Jesus was doing. Why? Because they ain't in control no more. They can't dictate policy no more. The same thing, if Jesus was crucified in the 20th, same thing would happen. They crucify him. They would crucify him just as much as they crucified him 2,000 years ago. We will not have this man reign over us. No, can't have that. He messing up our game plan. We can devour widows' houses and their pension funds and all that kind of stuff. Can't do that. We gotta get rid of this Jesus. They refuse to believe. They harden their hearts like over in the book of Hebrews. When God said, you tempted me these 10 times, you don't get to go into the promised land. See, what does his word say? You got to believe it. You got to believe. You have the ability to believe because God has given you his faith. You don't use his faith to believe his promises. That's why he said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, you got enough faith. If you had faith, a grain of mustard seed, it's very small. Amen. Well, I see our time is going out for the day. And like always, we give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Like to receive his free gift of salvation by making him Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with us. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Ask you to forgive me of all my sins. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling upon you. Ask you to come into my heart. You're my Lord and Savior. Do something in my life that will glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that prayer, drop a little note off to Eagles of Prayer Ministries, P.O. Box 3024, Gaithersburg, Maryland, 20885. And we'll send you out some free study material to help you newfound faith in Christ. Send you prayer requests, comments, questions, anything we can help you with. Especially those that you have just lost your job, you've been laid off, you don't know what you're going to do to make ends meet. God has help for you. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. And remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.